money mistakes that couples make. And I know that's one of the most common sources of marital stress, so it's not a wonder since it touches just about every area of our lives. So let's jump into that conversation and talk about this. Let's start here, because I know some couples prefer to keep their finances separate. Is that wise? Does that ever work?
Well, I'll talk from a broader perspective. There can be some cases where some couples have made a fair argument for that, but here's my concern with it. In Genesis 2, we read about, marriage and the two shall become one flesh. And it's not an easy process, but it's a great example of two becoming one when we take two independent financial lives and have to blend them together. And it takes a process to actually make that happen. And I love working with young couples that are trying to wrestle through that process. And it just takes such effort to get to know each other and to be willing to make sacrifices to what has always been the way I've done it versus the way you've done it. And I just see so much benefit. And then not only is the process beneficial, but in the end, you now have a more intimate relationship because you're taking into account in every spending decision you make how it's going to impact the other person. So it's just unifying those two lives together rather than keeping a part of our lives separate.
Well, Brad, as we're talking about this, you say that some people have made a successful argument for that. But also, financial literacy is lacking in our world. And so sometimes those successful arguments are just wrongly placed. So share more about the importance of biblical wisdom and godliness when handling our finances.
Yeah, you've already said it. Financial literacy in this world is lacking. You can look at statistics and see how few people really understand money. But now you take it a step farther for the believer, and if you would take a survey of how many are actually living according to biblical financial wisdom, that number would drop dramatically even from those who just have a basic worldly financial literacy. And Scripture tells us that the wisdom of the world is foolishness before God. So for most people, if they do have a financial knowledge, a lot of us learned it from the world. And if we're not using biblical wisdom to inform us from a financial standpoint, then are we still being foolish? We may, from a worldly standpoint, look like we're wise, but from a biblical standpoint, we may actually be making foolish decisions. And here's where it really plays in for the couples. If you think of it, with two people getting married, where did they likely learn their financial wisdom? In most cases, it came from watching their parents. So with a couple, unless they were both raised in very solid, biblically-based homes that were teaching biblical financial literacy, they probably have different opinions on how money should be handled because they each learned it from their parents that did it probably in different ways. And the best thing that they can really do is set that aside and say, we're going to go and together we're going to discover biblical wisdom and biblical financial wisdom and how we should make these decisions together. And while they each have their own history, their own process that they've been used to, they're coming together and saying, you know what, there's a greater truth here, and we're going to explore that together. And when a couple can build on that base knowledge of financial wisdom from the Bible, then they always have something they can go back to as a common ground. And that can diffuse a lot of arguments, because now you're coming at it from the same side of the table and saying, what does God say on this? And even if they can't get clarity from it, now they can go seek biblical wisdom from somebody else that can feed into, okay, how do we honor God with this decision? And here's what Scripture says, and it doesn't address maybe this particular issue specifically, but how can we apply that wisdom here? And their wise counsel is trying to do the exact same thing. And so they're really setting aside their own arguments and looking for how do we honor God with this decision?
Well, Brad, obviously, and we all know this, anybody who is married knows this, money can cause problems in a marriage if we're not handling things well, if we're not being careful, if we're not considerate of each other. So as you are counseling couples, how do you counsel about accountability? Because handling money just in and of itself can create a problem. And you can take money out of the equation, and accountability to each other can create a problem. How are you bringing those together?
Yeah, so openness is one of the key issues here. And a lack of openness can happen really in two ways. There can be the intentional lack of openness where one person could be trying to hide it from the other. Hopefully that's not the case, because then you got a bigger issue you're dealing with. But a lot of times it just comes from a lack of knowledge. So I lack knowledge of exactly where the money is going, what decisions are being made. So the best thing we can do is just lay things out in the open. And that's why I have people, especially at the start of any kind of counseling session I'm doing, is to have them track where their money's going so that it's laid open in front of the other person. And I like to use it in a spreadsheet format so they see every time money's being spent, and it just creates this big grid so we can look at it as just a one-sheet picture in front of us and see where every dollar went for an entire month. And when you do that, you're really laying everything bare in front of the other person. And you may want to ask the question, is anything not on here? Just to make sure that nothing is being hidden and just taking it a step farther. But once it's out in the open, most couples are fine sharing with each other. And then there's just that degree of accountability because you're each going to see what the other person is doing. It also prevents this desire to maybe hide something you're ashamed of. And maybe you'll either give it up or you'll have to confess it to the other person because it's going to show up somewhere.
Well, Brad, you know, financial literacy, I just want to go back to that point that we said earlier, that it's lacking in our world. But there's a couple of really good things that are happening that I've been reading about lately in the news about many different states. Their legislators are trying to pass bills that require students who are going to graduate from high school to actually take a financial literacy course and that they have to pass that in order for them to graduate. You think that's a really good idea for teaching that to young people as they're coming out and just going into life experiences? What's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think it's certainly important. It's a major aspect of life. And if people are coming out and entering into adulthood and have no idea how the financial system even works, there's a lot of huge problems that we're throwing in front of people. We're really just throwing the kids out to the wolves and saying, figure it out. And they may be digging a huge hole. The biggest thing they don't understand is debt and the long-term ramifications of debt. And especially as they're leaving high school and going into college, it's easy to take on debt at that point in life. And if they don't understand the consequences of taking on that debt, it's easy for them to do, and they really fall into that trap. Now, what I'll say is that the schools are doing that. The churches need to consider it as well. How do we add on the biblical piece of that beyond just what they're learning in school? So adding that biblical financial wisdom on top of it.
Oh, I think it's a great idea because ultimately as these young people become young adults and they move on in life and enter that covenant marriage contract, then they've got some training, they've got some background to start with. And Brad, I know you also talk about the importance of having a financial plan and participation where both people in the marriage come together to create the plan and they both participate and know what's going on with the bills. And that's going to help cut down on strife, too. But we are just about out of time. So I kind of wanted to jump and let everybody know you can see all of this information on Brad's website. We'll tell you how to get there in just a minute. But before we do let you go, Brad, I wanted to touch on this. In marriage, some of us are spenders and some are savers. Oh, how do we achieve a balance? Because that might be a big issue that's happening right now.
Yeah, I see a lot of struggles in that area, especially when there is a spender and a saver, because the spender doesn't really want to be controlled. They feel like they can be getting controlled and if they have to give up some of their spending habits. But the saver can feel like they're the only adult in the room and they're trying to live according to a budget, so they can feel like they're being exasperated by the spending of the other person. So regardless of whether there's two spenders, two savers, or one of each, it can certainly create a lot of issues. And that's where communication and having a plan comes into place. It's best to communicate before emotions get involved. And with money, money often brings out our emotions. So best to have that conversation ahead of time and say, what is our plan? And then whether you're spenders, whether you're savers, if you develop that plan, both people need to stick to it. The saver needs to give room for the spender so that they don't feel like they're being controlled. And the spender also needs to be willing then to live according to the budget that they've agreed to. So they shouldn't go and spend without consideration for the budget and the care for the saver. So it's a kind of a beautiful picture of marriage, really, where two people are coming together, doing one plan and caring about the other person and their personality even, because it can add a lot of stress to the marriage when you have people looking at money in two different ways. But if you can come together ahead of time before emotions are lit and just work out a plan and then agree that you're going to sacrificially live out of love for your spouse according to that plan, it's a beautiful thing.